from singing mode to preaching mode, just like this. Turn in your Bible to the book of Jude. Now, some of you will know exactly where we're at. You know why? Because we have on Wednesday night at 7 this thing called Real Church. Sometimes we get right down into the nitty-gritty. Amen? And Wednesday night I started a message that I was intending to finish tonight. Even when I started it Wednesday, it was my plan to finish it tonight. It's not that I didn't have anything else to do. I got 66 books to find something else to do. But for those of you that were not here, Jude opens his book, 25 little verses, that is so power-packed that you could take this book and preach a revival on it. I believe that. When Jude began to write this book, and if I refer back to a few Wednesday night things, it's okay. When he began to write this book, he was writing this book with a solemn warning to the believers. Because of the way that Jude wrote this, there was an onslaught of attack of false teachers that had entered into, even had to be into the society. It had to be trying to be ingrained into the culture of the day. And I don't know about you, and I don't know where you live or what plane you live on, but it don't take a whole lot, or doesn't take a whole lot, for you and I to figure out today that we have moved beyond those things that at one time used to be done in secret. Now, very unapologetically, in broad daylight, in public. And the thing that I began to think about when I began to study this last week into this week is the simple fact that there was the same spirit that was in Jude's day is in our day. Now, I've used many scriptures Wednesday night. Go back on our prayer page. You can still see it. I think it's on there. If you want to get a following up on that, you can do that. But one of the things that I believe that I really didn't spend a whole lot of time on Wednesday night was when Jude began to write this, Jude began to write about their salvation. He began to write unto them about their earnestly to contend for the faith. For the simple reason, because Paul, Peter, Jude, and one more had written about the, Thessalonians, Peter, Jude, and then Timothy. He had written about what would be taking place. Every one of them, Brother West, wrote basically the same thing in different words. Paul said that there's going to be perilous times. Paul began to talk about this with a young man by the name of Timothy. And then Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, to the church of Thessalonica, about how that the spirit of the Antichrist had already entered into the world. Antichrist means against Christ. Anti, against Christ. And it don't take a whole lot, friend, to figure out today that we are definitely living in a culture today. And this is me, and I'm going to preach it the way I feel it. That is the society and the environments, the atmospheres, the airways, the prince and power of the air has taken foot, if you will, and he's tried to fill every media outlet, if you will, the prince and power of the air. Think about it, the airways. with every type of demonic power that is possible, and how that Jude again was writing this. He told them to contend for their faith. Again, we think about contend. We think about struggle. We think about giving our best effort for this. And he used that word. And then he says those things in verse number 3. I really didn't get too much further into this, but verse number 4, we see this again where that Paul was writing this. The Bible said that in the last days that men will call evil good and good evil. Paul even wrote and said that their conscience will be seared as with a hot iron. And it seems like the morality in our society today seems to wane away and vanished. And I'm going to be real for a minute, if it's okay. And I know I've got some students in this room, and I promise I won't embarrass none of these kids or none of these young adults. And I may get rotten eggs thrown at me, and I'm going to say it before I say it. Save your email and save your dirty letter, because I'm not even going to open it. But we've got a problem, and I'm sorry, I'm pointing. I've been told in the past, don't. But I'm sorry. I don't like getting all riled up this early in the message, but it's just where we're at. But we've got a problem. I put my hands in my pocket. We got a problem today when you see men kissing. Men. And I'm trying to be gentle, but I got to be bold. I got to be forward. And I'll be honest with you. I've told Sherry, why are you sitting back there? I'm scared. I need you here, baby. She's way back there in the back. We preached about people that sat on the back rows, baby. Don't do that to me. No, she was counting money with Kay. But she and I, I've looked at this, and I'm telling you, folks, it's a sign of where we're at in society. And there are TV commercials. What little bit I watch TV commercials. Very prominent companies. I can't name them because, Bob, I don't remember them, but I've seen it. And I told her, and they're glorifying men kissing men on their TV commercials. And the same thing, and Brother Steve, sometimes I just want to take my 12-gauge shotgun and blow my TV off the wall, but I just really messed my TV up and I wouldn't accomplish nothing. I just turn it off. It's easy to turn it off in our society, but the reality of it, this next verse, let me see. This next verse, verse 4 says, and there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into uncleanliness. Oh, it's okay to sin a little every now and then. Everybody's got to sin a little bit. It's okay to snort a little every now and then. It's okay to toke a little every now and then. I ain't hurting nobody to take a little drink here. I ain't hurting nobody. But you're being unclean and you're not being holy. And God says that He's coming back for a church. I'm about to feel Him in this room. Without blaming, I may not be the biggest church in town, and I am not soliciting for that. But friend, I do want to live holy before God. Come on, somebody. I do want to live right before God. I do want my heart pure and true before God. And the Bible reminds us of that, and we see this where it says that they're turning the grace of God. And the thing that I think about when I think about this is I believe in grace. I believe God taught me so much more about grace when my daddy passed away. God taught me so much more about grace. And I know there's grace. I know that. But friend, when you spit in the face of God and the Spirit of God is saying, live holy, don't do that. Shut up, God, I ain't listening. And you go and you do the very thing that God's convicting you over, and you spit in the face of the Holy Ghost and you do it, my friend, God is going to hold you accountable. But our world, this is me. If you're preaching it, you preach it your way. But our world is spitting in the face of God. And I'll say this before I get into the good part of this message. The last thing that we need to do is lower our standard of holiness as we stand before God. And the reason I say that is simply this. I'm not a clothesline preacher. I'm not a makeup preacher. I'm not a jewelry preacher. I'm not a hair preacher. I'm not a lipstick preacher. My God, do whatever you want to do right there. But you better keep your heart before God pure and holy. Come on, somebody. And you say, well, why is this so important on a Sunday night? I thought we were singing. I thought we were just having church. I didn't think you was going to go there, preacher. I didn't think all that was really all that necessary tonight, preacher. I say that because I know that our young people today are under attack of the devil. And not, you and I, we have to understand now, when Jude was writing this because there were certain men crept in unaware. I feel the Holy Ghost. I need to tell the devil, not you. I need to tell the devil, devil, not on my watch. Is there anybody in the room that will stand with me and say, not on my watch. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to protect my heart. I'm going to live before God the way that God ordains it in my life. I'm going to live my life before Him. Don't let the sacred things of God slip out of your heart. Guard your heart. And again, he said this in the scripture, denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there was this thing that we deal with in our world today. Then it goes back to people say there's pathways to God. Different people get to God in different ways, depending on what you feel and how you find your own way to God. Let me tell you something, friend. There is not but one way unto God. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Oh, my friend, he's the emblem of suffering and shame. If there was any other way for you and I to be saved tonight, he would not have sent the precious Lamb of God to the cross to die and to bleed and give his life. You ought to be shouting in a Pentecostal church. You say, well, preacher, I don't like hollering. I don't like hollering either. But I'm about to explode on the inside. This is my pressure relief valve. It popped about 10 minutes ago, and I feel good about it right now. God, help us tonight. Help us, God, tonight to be your people. Therefore, in verse number 5, he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. I mentioned that last week. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Wow, you once knew this. Again, there's, and I really got to hurry to try to get to where I'm going. If not, I'll do it Wednesday night. Come on, somebody. But there's this thing that you look at this scripture and he said, you once knew this. And how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. At one time, maybe not in this room, but people believed. Brother Robert back there, he's a historian. He follows a lot. He reads a lot. He studies a lot. And Robert and I, when both of us have had more time, we've talked about things. There are a few voices left in America that is suffering great ridicule for the gospel. There are those that still a voice of one crying in the wilderness. But I said that to say this, that America herself, and I'm probably going to get in trouble again, but here I go. I'm going to say it politically correct, I hope. There was a president, oh, I know how to do it. There was a president before President Trump that said, and maybe he was right, but it was the way that it was said, America is not just a Christian nation. That we're no longer a Christian, just a Christian nation. We're a nation that is made up of this, 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 this. Steve, if I'm preaching outside the text, you come and jerk my coattail and you carry me out because the Holy Ghost will get me. In the Old Testament, when Israel done well, God blessed them. But when God, when Israel began to worship Moloch and Baal and Ashtaroth and Diana and all the gods that they worshiped, what happened? God withdrew His protective hand over them. And then, and I can't remember all the ites, the Malachites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and all the termites, and they don't say termites, but all them ites, Brother Bob, would come in and overtake the land. What? 400 years in the wilderness, walking around that rock. I heard John Hagee preach that one time. You know what? You done started something. That was a 2-week journey. Think about it. A 2-week journey. And every time, Brother West, they'd start getting toward God. And this ain't nowhere into my study. You just messed me up. But every time they'd get close to the will of God, guess what that happened? They'd start looking back over in Egypt. At least over in Egypt, we had some garlics and some we had some onions. I mean, if you're going to take us out in the wilderness, take us back over there. Will you come out here and put us out here for our graves to be out here? We at least bury us over there in the Egypt land, you know. Now, I'll leave that alone. But they did. They started going back. Jude was writing this, again, the way I've understood this, the best I could study it, is because when these things come into the camp of Jude, the people of God was waning away from the original message that was preached unto them. They preached, he was told to contend for the faith. And he was told in the scripture that when we look at this, that this original message that was preached unto you, and that's what he said, that you should earnestly contend for the faith. So we see this, and again, I'm not going to take the time to read all the way down through this, and you can read it. It's 25 verses, but yet we can see that what happened was that Jude used some very staggering truths to write to the people to get them to understand that there was tremendous consequences for those that would move away from this original gospel message that was preached unto them. I may not be a user-friendly church. I may not be a seeker-sensitive church. We went through that several years ago. You've got to be a user-friendly church. You've got to be a friendly seeking church. You've got to be everything for everybody at all times. And my friend, these things that are built on sinking sand, they are not going to last. They're not going to stand. But my friend Jesus said upon the rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And if we build, there it is again. We've got to stay true to the truth. If we build the church on the solid foundation, the rock, Jesus becoming the chief cornerstone. You're going to go through hell. You're going to go through storms. I've often said this. You can wade through demons elbow deep. Every hound of hell howling at you. But you're going to come out victorious on the other side. Because greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. And if God be for you, who can be against you? God told them this. Jude began to tell them, you get away from the truth, you're in trouble. And I'll say that to myself, I'll say it to me as a pastor, Pastor Green, if you get away from the truth and if you don't preach the truth of God's word, I will come down just like the she-bears come out of the woods and the gust of children that made fun of Elisha, I believe it was. And the God will come down and God will take your crown, if you will. God won't let that stuff go on very long. And I'm going to meddle here for just a second. How many prominent ministries, large, huge ministries throughout history has come and gone, and you've seen it and I've seen it without calling names, I would not dare do that tonight because we moved away from the truth. Can I just take a break for just a second and tell you this, that I have no other intention but to preach Jesus. No other intention but to preach Jesus. The Holy Ghost looked at Mary and said, fear not. Looked at Joseph and said, fear not to take unto thee Mary to be your wife. And that is conceived within her is born of the Holy Ghost, has been put the seed of the Holy Ghost in her. Mary said, how can this be? I know not a man. And God, the angel told her, said, it's of the Holy Ghost. I still believe in the virgin birth. I still believe that God did that. I still believe that in John chapter 1, and I know I'm meddling here for a minute, John chapter 1 and verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was sent to die. I still believe that He could have called 10,000 angels, a whole lot more than that. He could have called more than 12 legions. I think it says 12 legions of angels. Know ye not that I can call more than 12? I can call 72,000 angels to my rescue right now. You're not putting me on the cross. Am I right? Am I in the Word? But I love you enough that I'm willing to die because I don't want you to perish. I don't want you to die and spend all of eternity separated from the one that God loved and God created in the garden, human beings. And God loves you and God loves me. And God even told them in this text, and I've got to hurry. He told them in this text that God was so... the word I'm looking for has not come to me. But God was so intent on what His expectations was of the church, of the Christians. And He says this in the book of Jude, and then as we move forward, He says this. He said to the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath He reserved in the everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Look in verse 7. Sodom and Gomorrah, giving themselves over to fornication, strange flesh. You know what that is? Have set forth an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. What? Fire? God would never send anybody to hell. I like that little table, Sherry. God would never send anybody to hell. Listen close. God's never sent anybody to hell. But people go to hell by their own rejection of what God's already done. You've heard me say it before. God's already done everything God's going to do about your eternal salvation. He sent His Son to die and to give His life. But again, it grieves my heart when I read this scripture and we see that even those that God loved and God wooed and God desired to be with. So we have this Adamic nature. We have Adam in us. And we always fight this thing called Adam in us. Every one of us, male and female, all of us. You know, I hung around rednecks. That has a total different meaning in Union County, North Carolina. Steve knows that. But I was just a good old country boy. Come on, somebody. I never bothered nobody. I was just a good old boy. My friend, I meant no harm to anyone. But yet when I began to think about what God has done for me, the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but it all would come to repentance. Jude warned them. Jude told them. And Jude told them what would take place. So again, God again warns them and tells them, and I'm going to skip way, way forward. And he gives them a whole description of everything that's from verse 9 all the way through verse 16. verse number 17, he begins to come down towards the end of and the benediction of this writing. You may not have a problem if your boat is in the water. But friend, you got a real problem if your water is in the boat and you're sitting out in the middle of the ocean. That didn't even make sense, preacher. Okay, let me try this again. It may not seem like a great big deal when you and I are in a world saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on fire of God, ready to go to heaven. And all the world is infiltrated in sin. May not seem like a big deal until the position changes. Then all of a sudden, it seems like there's no standard of living, and it seems like that the church all of a sudden has been infiltrated with all kinds of sin, all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. And again, I'm trying to be just as kind tonight. I'm trying to be just as gracious. I'm trying to be just as sweet as I can be. But I've heard it, and Brother Steve Jones, I hate to point you out. I don't know what you've heard. I was going to assume, but I can't assume. So I'll leave you out of this. But I've heard of churches where preachers run around with a piano player. Jody, that ain't going to happen. Just to give you a little note, buddy. You got it, Skeeter. But I've heard of things where they've been Sunday school teachers, and yeah, you are. And where all kinds of sinful things and all kinds of things has been done behind the scenes. It's been sketchy. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this? Because God told me this is what I'm supposed to preach. Take it up with Him. I'm just a mailman. You got to guard your heart. You got to protect your heart. Jude, that's why Jude wrote this. He wrote this to that church. And then he says, there's a shift. And this is where the shift takes place. Is because if you and I fail to be the church, we failed God. What do you mean, preacher? We're supposed to be a soul-saving station. We're supposed to be a city of refuge. We're supposed to be a place where people can come and get born again, and people can find safety. People can come and find Jesus, and people can come and get born again, and people can see their lives turned around and transformed for God's glory. Years ago, there's a man made a statement. And I know how he made the statement. I heard it with my own ears, and he was in the meeting. And he said he drove by a church, and it really puzzled him when he read this sign. It's that little bitty church down there in Charlotte. You know that guy's name. He said on the marquee, he said, come on the inside. You'll find out we're not that much different than you are. Now, I understand his understanding, or the sign said, come on in, church. I mean, come on in, people. We're just human beings. We're just like you. We're just like you. Now, I'm not talking about a holier-than-thou attitude. I'm not talking about you being any better than anybody else. I'm not talking about, you cut me, I bleed red. She didn't put my britches in the corner of me running and jumping them this morning when I put them on. And she certainly didn't put no angel wings behind my coat. We're all the same. But that man down there in Charlotte said one time, but it really grieved my heart, because God has called us out of the world. And God has separated us from the world. I'm no better than nobody else. Nobody. I have my ups and downs, my faults, and my wife, she sees it all, knows it all. But I'm not saying I go out and sin. That's not what I'm saying. Everybody has a challenge, you know what I mean, in day-to-day living. But I want to live right before God. I'm going to do this last part of this, because this is what I'm supposed to have preached the whole service. And I just sort of got carried away in the good Lord, and He helped me on the first part. So the church is to see souls saved. And Jude showed them this picture of the sinfulness of humanity. Watch this. So that the church would be the church. And the church could get under the burden for the lost and for the dying and the hurting and the sinful. The things that sinners do, I'm going to tell you, it makes me want to throw up. I just see things that's like, how can people be so wicked, and how can people be so filthy, and how can people be so demised? And there's this person, and I don't want a friend, an acquaintance that I know put these pictures on Facebook. I've not been on Facebook, so I don't know if this was yesterday, day before. I've been on there a little bit, but and I didn't repost it, but children sitting in classrooms. And statues of demonic figures over top of them, and got pentagrams written all over the floor, and telling children, little children, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year old kids, how to become Satan worshipers. Right here in Greensboro, here not long ago, I said it. Brother Jonathan, they had what was called as a Satan club in an elementary school in Greensboro. I didn't follow it, but it really did happen. It was not a school promoted thing, but they allowed them to come onto the school campus like they would allow anybody after school to have a program on school campus, and it was the Satan program, where they were teaching children about how to become involved in Satan worship. You think, oh, I can't believe all that, preacher. It's everywhere you look. I'm going to try to wind this down. I'm trying really, really hard. I promise I'm trying. I'm not doing a good job of it, but I'm trying. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. No man takes his light and puts it under a bushel. Put it on a candlestick so that all that pass by will be able to see their way. That is not a King James quote, but you know and I know that's what he's saying. A city upon a hillside cannot be hid. These last few verses of the book of Jude, starting in 17, where Jude was writing this, this is what he says. He said, but beloved, remember ye the words which was spoken before of the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 18 explains verse 17, how that he told you there would be mockers in the last day who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. All this is self-explanatory. I heard it said one time, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men not to do nothing. Look at this next verse, because he says this. He says in verse 20, But you, beloved, this is what he says. He says, building up yourselves, not getting a mote out of your neighbor's eye, not getting the beam, a speck out of theirs and leaving the beam in you, yours. It's so easy to always to clean under somebody else's back porch, but sometimes it's more difficult to clean under our own. Easy to judge other people. It's easy to see other people's failures and faults. But Jude was saying, build yourself up. How do we overcome evil in our society today? We build ourselves up. Oh, we're not supposed to build. You build, encourage, not to exalt, but it means to build up. Not to be puffed up with pride. But my friend, building up yourselves, watch this, on your most holy faith. Build yourself up in your faith. This is how you're going to overcome evil in the day and the hour that we're living in. Faith. This is what he says. And then he says in the latter part of this, praying in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Well, let's turn real fast. I'm trying to wind it down. Wings is out and the flaps is down. See the runway, but I'm not there yet. I see it, Tim. We're getting there. He works for the airways. Look in Romans for just a minute. I think I said 8 and 26. I think I didn't write it down, but I knew at this point that it would be there. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. When you don't know how to pray, let the Holy Ghost pray. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Inside of my own abilities, I don't know how to pray. There's a old song that talked about still away and pray. Brother Bob, you remember the times that we used to use the word in the church? Pray through. I'm going to leave that alone right now. But it's been a long time since some people prayed through. Hello? God help the church to pray through. Praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, we don't know what we're supposed to pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Pray in the Spirit. Now, somebody says, is that just in tongues? We interpret that because of what he says. He says, Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We interpret it as that. We good Pentecostals do. But there have been times in my life, Sister West, and I think you've been there too, when I didn't know what to pray and all I could do was go, oh, God. Y'all with me? And you're yearning in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is, you're drawing and you're yearning. Yes, you speak in tongues. Yes, the Holy Ghost knows how what we need to pray. Brother Steve, you know what I'm talking about. Now, why is that in the Scripture? Because he says, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what he says. Verse 21 says this. So we're praying in the Holy Ghost. When we see these evils coming, are y'all with me? When you see these days and when you see this evil all around you, what are you to do? Build yourself up in the most holy faith. Now watch this next verse. This again is in Jude 21. The word keep, stay with, consistent, a constant, not wavering from your own steadfastness. We see that in the word. Keep, the Bible says. Jody, you can come. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Loving God is going to cure a whole lot of things in our lives today. When you get to feeling lonely, call on God. When you get to feeling troubled in your spirit and you don't know what to do, call on God. In the hours of your disappointment. Has anybody ever been there? In your hours of disappointment, in the times of your life that you didn't know what to do, keep yourselves in the love of God. I'll say this, and I don't want to take anything out of context. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple, by your love one for another. Love identifies the Christian. But love is no applause of sin. There's accountability there. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The Bible does say that love covers a multitude of sin. And then he says the third thing, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Mercy. Looking for God's mercy. Don't smoke your breast like the publican and said, I'm so glad I ain't like that sinner right there. I'm so glad Man, by now, he's like Lazarus. By now, he stinketh. That boy needs a bath. I'm glad I ain't like that one. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord. What is mercy? Mercy has been, from my understanding of what mercy is, God not giving you, God not doing to you, to me, what you really do deserve. We all need His mercy, don't we? Now, let me wrap this up. This next verse is one of those things that says, and some having compassion. Again, when I've looked over that and read that in days gone by, some having compassion, making a difference. And I said this many times over this scripture right here. You'll never do anything at any level that you don't have some passion about. You'll never be a soul winner if you don't love souls. Come on, preachers. You'll never do anything in life that you don't have a little bit of compassion about. And then he says in the latter part of this verse 22, making a difference. Let me go back for a minute to where we were at earlier. If you and I fall into the trap of the devil, the Greek word for bait, Sherry knows this, years ago John Bevere, the bait of Satan, the word for bait is scandalon, a Greek word, scandalon. And that is what John Bevere used in his book, The Bait of Satan, that talked about that the devil will use his bait, because the word scandalon, we get the word scandal. And he'll do anything that he can do to make us fall. But I'll get to that in a minute. But making a difference. God said, I've called the church. I've called the pastor. I've called the preachers. I've called the Sunday school teachers. I've called you to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I got to hustle because I've got things to do, but to finish this up, I don't want to meddle too much longer. 23 says this. 22 said, and some having compassion, making a difference. Just make a difference. Somebody says, you may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. What is your story telling them? 23 says, and others, saved with fear. What does that mean? Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Others saved with fear. When I read back through that this afternoon, I thought to myself, saved with fear. Now I know the Bible said, for God not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. Fear is contrary to faith. But this is me when I said that and I read back through that. And others save with fear. And God, help us right here. Help us, Lord. And just listen to me for a minute. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to wink at me. You don't have to nod. And you don't have to rub your nose. But has anybody in this room got any family members that you know without a shadow of a doubt is on a collision course with hell? I do. And others saving with fear. What is that? That fear, Brother Steve, is, in my view, in the way that I've processed this, is the fear of a loved one dying and going to hell. I want to be filled with compassion, and I want to make a difference. Is that making sense? Because I don't want my loved ones to die and go to hell. And my friends, you've got them, and I've got them, and we've got them. Look on down through this, verse 24, and then there's just two more verses, 24. And he says, now unto him that is able to keep you. Oh, that's a good verse. That's a good verse because God's got you, yes. God's able, yes. But let me say it like this. The Bible says you're in the world, but you're not of the world. We don't love the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. There's one more. Sherry and I talk about this every now and then. The book of John, 1 John. But he says here, he's able to keep you from falling. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And then he says, this thing called the world's all around us. And everything I've already preached, all these things unawares, all these sensual spirits, all these homosexual spirits in our world today, telling our young people you can be an ex and you can figure out when you get older what you want to be. It will keep you from falling when you cling to the cross. Why? Because he says, and I think it's 1 John 4 and 4, I can't guarantee that, but he says, but greater is he that's within us, in you, than he that's in the world. There's a spirit in the world today that's like we've never seen before. But God's got you. When you cling to the old, rugged cross, stand with me if you will. Keep that there for a moment. God's plan is to present you before the throne of God, faultless. I think I'm pretty sure that I know the answer to this, but I'm pretty sure everybody in this room, Brother Marlowe, we want to hear him say, well done, come on. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on in. I'm going to make you rulers over much. To present you faultless, keep you from falling, keep you in the mercy of God, keep you in the love of God. And then he says, he's coming back for church. As Ephesians talks about this, Ephesians 5, as a husband loves his wife, so Christ loved the church. He's coming back for a church without blemish or any such thing. I'm gonna pull Pastor Dotson on you for a minute. Pastor Dotson drilled it into our heads, didn't he, Sherry? Brother Dotson's still preaching. He's 77, 76, 77. Preaching, pastoring, Tenelina Church of God. Brother Dotson trained me, poured into me, and I'm indebted to that man forever. He said, you play with your dogs and you play with your cats, you play with your boats and you play with your cars. He said, but don't play with God. Folks, I want to hear him say, well done. We don't have much time left. Somebody said, preacher, this stuff's been going on for years and years. I heard my granny talk about the rapture. I mean, granny's dead and in the grave, and that's been years and years and years and years and years ago. I heard granny talk about the rapture. And that's a true story. But you know what I think, Sister Betty Johnson? It just makes it closer today than it was when Granny told me that 30 years ago. Last verse, 25. To the only wise God and Savior be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and after a while, both now and forever. Jude said, hold on. Don't let it go. No matter how rough it gets, no matter how much discouragement comes. Brother Jonathan, I don't know you that well, and I don't want to pick on you, but no matter how many people are standing in the corner saying, hey, just give him enough time. Yeah, just give him enough time. I know that. Yeah. Just give him enough time. They don't know the Jonathan that they think they know. because this Jonathan loves God, and he sold out to God, and he surrendered his heart to that Savior that saved him years ago. I don't know why I did that, but you may have those in the corner. God's able to keep you. Life is so divine. Remember that song? He'll keep me. Those convention song books. Father, we love you tonight. And God, I praise you, and God, I thank you. I thank you for the power of God, the anointing of God. I thank you, Father God, for your goodness. I thank you, God, for your mercy. And I know, God, tonight that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. God, keep us. Lord, don't let us get so ingrained in the things of this world that the world ingrains our hearts. God, let our hearts stay true to you. Let our hearts stay pure to you. And God, it was a solemn warning from Jude to the people of God that they would keep their hearts intact, that they would never lose their hearts. Father, I pray, God, that this word would go forth even on the internet or wherever it's supposed to go. Lord, I know that I had to say some very unpopular things tonight. And I know that some of those things I said is offensive to certain individuals. But God, it don't change the authenticity of the Word of God and the importance. And Lord, I don't want anybody to think that we hate people, because we don't hate people. No more than God hates people, but God hates sin. God will judge sin. God will not tolerate sin, because God has made a provision and God has made a way of escape. And how are we going to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So, Father, in this room tonight, if there's one person that cannot say that they've been saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, let them this night consider their own eternal salvation story. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If there's anybody in this room tonight, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to do anything to you, but you know in your heart of hearts that you've never been saved. You know inside of your own heart tonight you're backslid. You know inside of your own heart tonight that you've waned away from the presence of God. You're no longer as close to God as you used to be. Just ask God to return tonight and come into your heart. Ask God to come into your life, save you, forgive you, wash you, cleanse you, make you whole, restore your love for Him. And Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your uncompromising word that endures forever. And Father, we love you. We praise you and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just would you slip up that hand one more time and say, Jesus, thank you for thy word. And Jesus, thank you for the correction of your word. And Jesus, help me to live your word on this side of eternity, so that when it's my turn to go, that I will spend all my life through eternity with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you love him tonight?